diversity, abundance of microbial community and NC Superfund site and the remediation system biofilm. So I'll let you get started. Oh, here, I think this will work.
Yes, it will.
Good morning, all. Can everyone hear me pretty well?
Great.
Good morning. My name is Terrence Gardner, as Dr. Norton just said. I'm a faculty at North Carolina State University Department of Soil Science. And this morning, I would like to briefly describe or talk to you about a project that we initiated in North Carolina entitled Diversity and Abundance of Microbial Communities in North Carolina Superfund Site Remediation System. First, I'd like to introduce you to my colleagues and who are instrumental in the progression and this particular study. The biogeochemistry group, which is led by Dr. Owen Duckworth, who is the professor who invited me into his laboratory to do my postdoctoral research, and this is going to be the products of that. We have collaborators from Jacqueline Pena from Switzerland, who joined us and did quite a bit of work with us on X-ray spectroscopy, and Dr. Cara Centelli, formerly of the Smithsonian Institute, who's presently a professor here at University of Minnesota, also participated in this this project. So to begin with, I'd like to give you a brief overview of the national Superfund sites, or sites that are designated for cleanup or national priority, that are on a national priority list. And as you can see, that nearly 1,300 sites are scheduled for cleanup. Unfortunately, I'm from New Jersey, and you can't see New Jersey because it's littered with Superfund sites. It's amazing. Another surprising fact that I learned during this study was that one in four Americans live within 3 miles of a Superfund site. Go figure. But a good note, a light at the end of the tunnel, is that the United States government appropriates $1.5 billion U.S. dollars annually that goes towards remediation of these sites. For today's discussion and this research, we focused on North Carolina. In North Carolina, there are approximately 40 sites that are designated for cleanup or that are on a national priorities list. The site in particular that we're interested in is located in central North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is located right here in this area that is on the entertainment and sports complex that's adjacent near the PNC Arena, the Carter Finley Stadium where the Wolfpack and other football teams play, and adjacent to it, separated only by a train link fence, is the Wolfpack football practice field. This is the building in which the remediation system is stored, is housed rather, and the remediation system is a pump and treat remediation system. That being said, the remediation system is composed of several components, the processing tank, air stripper, intermediate tank, activated carbon columns, ion exchange columns, as well as an effluent. And as you can see, during investigation of this study, let me start by saying that a little bit more background about the site is that in 1969 through 1980, the university and other research facilities deposited their waste, contaminated waste, into the site. And in 1986, this pump and treat remediation system was installed to clean up the waste. But over time, you see this portion, the white portion of this tank, is the actual tank itself. The whole tank was initially white, but after a buildup of sludge, this black sludge was developed. It was learned that the remediation of this groundwater was decreased because of this sludge. It was clogging the system. So my colleagues, Dr. Duckworth, and a couple of other colleagues, went to the site and collected some of the sludge samples and for further analysis. So preliminary analysis, we did analysis of the groundwater chemistry. This analysis informed us that there were high concentrations of calcium, iron, manganese, and sodium in the system, which stimulate these objectives. The first objective is to characterize the system chemistry. Secondly, we want to go on to determine the major forms of oxides within the system. And then we sought to identify the organism that's caused the formation of the sludge or biofilm in the system, and then determine the diversity and relative abundance of the microbes within the system, sludge. Okay. So to do this, we use a geomicrobiological approach with several technologies. Scanning electron microscopy and energy dispersive spectroscopy was used to determine the morphology and the chemical composition within the sludge. Utilize X-ray diffraction spectroscopy to determine the mineralogy within the sludge. We also use X-ray absorption spectroscopy to determine the local structure and the oxidation states of the biogenic manganese oxide biofilms that were identified. And what we're going to talk about mostly here is the culture-based isolation of organisms and the culture-independent identification of the microbial communities using 454 sequencing and bioinformatic tools. So to begin, we're going to start with the groundwater chemistry. So our investigation of the groundwater showed that about 1 to 5 milligrams per liter of dissolved manganese was present in the system, with the exception in the carbon tank, where the concentration of manganese was 26 milligrams per liter, very high concentrations. The next bar graph is indicative of the iron that was in the groundwater system, and it shows that initially there was a high concentration of iron in the system. However, as it went down the remediation stream, it was removed early in its system components. Also, we learned that the dissolved barium concentrations were similar in the effluent as well as the effluent, and that the zinc decreases as we go downstream in the system, the remediation system, and that cobalt, copper, and nickel were highest in concentration at the carbon tank component. Chemistry of the biofilm or sludge indicated that the metal concentrations were much higher in the sludge when compared to the aqueous phases. Manganese ranged from about 7 milligrams per gram to 400 milligrams per gram in the ion exchange resin columns. Iron entering the system, which was similar to the groundwater evaluation, it shows that early on in this remediation system, the iron is pretty much removed from the system. Barium was found quite similar to manganese in that the trend was an increase in the first few components, and then it decreased, and then it spiked back up again in the ion exchange resin tank. Cobalt and zinc concentration ranged between 1 and 4 milligrams per gram, and was lowest in the carbon tanks. We utilized scanning electron microscopy, and that detailed and provided information that tells us that the system solids were complex microbial and mineral assemblages with morphologies that included the platy minerals, fluffy biomass, fungal hyphae, and cells, or the remnants of cells. Energy dispersive spectroscopy provided us a glimpse into the compounds that are also identified in these specific locations within the biofilm being analyzed. And it indicated that it was predominantly high concentration of manganese, which is what we expected, and that was enriched with iron, silica, aluminum, barium, and oxygen. As you can see in the previous slides, that all of these, except for iron and silica, were shown in our chemical analyses. We utilized XRD analysis that also supported our claims that the dominant crystalline phases are of clays, as you can see here, micas, iron oxides, and species-dependent manganese oxides. At this point, we believe that the oxides, manganese oxides, were mostly predominantly of bernicite phases and some tocherodite phases. We utilized X-ray absorption spectroscopy, which provided, was suggested that the dominant manganese phase in all the samples are poorly crystalline manganese 4-bearing phyllomanganate. Also, we also use XFs, and it provided a glimpse into the structure of the manganese oxide, and it also informed us that there are several heavy metals that were embedded in the manganese oxide structure itself, seemingly sorbed to the manganese oxide structure. So we have the chemical background and a lot of this, the mineral background information, but we wanted to really understand what organisms were in the system that were actually transforming the manganese into manganese oxides. So what we did was we took subsamples of the sludge and water, and our colleague, Dr. Cara Santelli, formerly of the Smithsonian Institute, presently here at University of Minnesota, she isolated the microbes, and we were able to determine that 95% of our isolates were actually of fungal origin, and only 5% were bacteria. So, which led us to focus our study more so on the fungi as opposed to bacteria at this point because of the population. And from this isolation and the metagenomic analysis of it, of our cultures, of our sequences actually, we identified that there were about 6 manganese 2 oxidizing fungi that were present, most of them being from the phylum Ascomycota. We also employed deep sequencing analysis by power sequencing 454 and utilized MOTHER as a bioinformatics tool to sort through the hundreds of thousands of sequences, and we came to the conclusion that we had a total of nearly 15,000 good sequences or OTUs that provided information for our study. So we had a total of about 15,000 fungal OTUs, operational taxonomic units. But of those 15,000, we found that there were about 30% of them were represented in the phyla of Ascomycota, and 50% were represented by the phyla of Basidiomycota, and 17% were unclassified fungi. So we did the isolates. We identified the isolates in our system. We also did the community analysis. But what I wanted to determine was whether some of our isolates could be found in our community. So we did developed a double hierarchical dendrogram and identified 2 of our isolates being present in the top 35 represented organisms in our system, and those were Foma and Fusarium species. So in conclusion, we learned that the same type of manganese layer type phase were found throughout the whole system. Okay. We also identified the through culture-based analysis 6 organisms that were identified that were present. And culture independent analysis of the fungal community suggests that a diverse community of organisms exist in the system, and many of them are known metal cyclers. And several of the cultured phylotypes were identified in our community analysis. The mineralogy was dominated by the manganese, layer type manganese 4 oxides, iron oxides, as well as phyllosilicates. And oxides contained significant concentrations of zinc, cobalt, and barium, which were incorporated into the binding sites of the manganese oxide structures. Desorption of these metals to these manganese oxides may aid in the removal of heavy metal contaminants from aqueous phases. And in future research, we intend on pursuing and learning more about the possible uses of these fungi and the fungal products in biogenic remediation of toxic contaminated groundwater. I would like to acknowledge North Carolina State University and the Department of Soil Science for their support, the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences for their support as well, the support of the SSRL and use of their equipment to do our X-ray spectroscopy. And also I'd like to thank some individuals, Dr. Stewart, Dr. Amuzagar, Dr. Madison, Latimer, Nelson, and Barger, and Kim Hutchinson for the technical support in this project. Thank you. Well, firstly, to answer your first question, no, we didn't explore the natural surroundings in this particular case. The study was initiated just prior to my arriving, but that's a good point. We should do that to see if some of the natural organisms are in the system. And to answer your second question, no, we didn't input any organisms in the system. These are just, we just collected the soil, the sludge or biofilm samples and water samples to find, explore and find out what's in it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure.
Just curious if you've made any attempt to recreate biofilm in the lab using similar conditions and inoculating or any attempt to hear or thoughts on it?
Well, we did recreate, actually, so when we grew our culture isolates on the media plates, solid media plates, as well as in liquid media agar, we found that the media that was supplemented with trace amounts of manganese chloride or manganese 2, that these organisms did produce the biofilm, the manganese oxide biofilm. And that was shown in the brown pigmentation that was identified on the culture plates. Yes. We do have students who are presently developing more concentrated manganese oxides from cultures, in liquid form. Yes.
All right, we'll have to move on now.
Thank you.